Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris. Welcome to Wheels Off. This is the pre-introduction as we bring you a handful of episodes to start 2022 that are the favorites from the just completed year 2021, fan favorites, the most listened to episodes. This one makes sense that it would be among those because my guest is Julia Cameron, the author of too many books for me to name right now, but most notably, The Artist's Way. She came to Wheels Off because she was mentioned by Brian Koppelman, a great writer who talked about her book, The Artist's Way, and his use of the tenets, which she outlines in that book, most notably the morning pages. He mentioned how he loves to write morning pages. I remembered having been given that book years ago, and it was just sitting on a shelf unread. So I went back, I read it, loved it. I live by it now. I write morning pages myself almost every morning. And getting to interview Julia Cameron was definitely a high point of last year for me. She's brilliant. Her advice is so useful. She's so generous in her sharing of it. I'd like to share with you before we get to the actual introduction that I recorded back during the time of the interview itself, I'd like to share with you a quote of Julia Cameron's from The Artist's Way. In times of pain, when the future is too terrifying to contemplate and the past too painful to remember, I have learned to pay attention to right now. The precise moment I was in was always the only safe place for me. That's Julia Cameron from The Artist's Way. I can't recommend enough this great interview that she gave me for Wheels Off. So allow me to introduce myself, introducing the great Julia Cameron. That's when it got wheels off. We started up and we ain't gonna stop. Oh, I said I like you, like it or not. That's when it got wheels off. Julia Cameron is the ultimate Wheels Off guest. She's many things. She's an author, an artist, a poet, a playwright, a novelist, a filmmaker, composer, journalist. But she's best known as a teacher. And what she teaches is creativity. What she teaches is unblocking, how to get past the things that hold us back. And for my money, she's the best at it. I only recently discovered her. Her book, The Artist's Way, was sitting on my shelf for over a decade, unread, until Brian Koppelman recommended it during a Wheels Off interview. And I fell in love with the process, like 50 million other people have done since the book came out in 1992. The morning pages, the artist's date, all the different things that go into The Artist's Way. And Julia Cameron has gone on to write 40 books. She has a brand new book, The Listening Path, that's coming out right now, The Creative Art of Attention, which I love. It's a great book. And in this interview, you can probably hear that I'm a little starstruck. And I don't know if that's something that happens to me often. I've spoken to big stars, and you would think that I would have gotten starstruck many times over. But I don't know, something about Julia Cameron, she's kind of magical. And it's a quick interview. You know, she lets her books speak for her, and they do beautifully. And in the interview, she's succinct, and she's funny, and she's thoughtful. The point that she makes about enlightenment is one that makes me so happy. There is a point in the interview, maybe 10 minutes in, when I'm asking her about her earliest moments when she realizes that she's a writer, an artist, and she begins to tell a story that I recognize from The Artist's Way, where she was writing short stories to win the affections of a boy in grade school. And the beginning of that story gets cut off because of a blizzard in the Hudson Valley that killed my Wi-Fi for a second. We got rolling back again and she picked the story up, but you will miss out on a tiny bit of that. Otherwise, I think you'll love this. She's just a magic person, and I'm so grateful that I got to speak with Julia Cameron. Welcome to Wheels Off. Welcome to Wheels Off, Julia Cameron. Thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome. In your blizzarded day, I'm happy to be visiting you from Santa Fe, where we are snow-free today.
Well, it's super beautiful there and a really magical place. I'm so jealous that you get to be there right now. Boy, I'd love to be anywhere. By the way, congratulations on The Listening Path. This is such a great book. I'm not all the way through it. I just got it. But I love the message of it, listening.
Thank you. Yes, as a musician, you must love it.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I've gotten to be friends with a lot of improv actor comedians. And I thought that so much of what they did was constantly thinking about what they were going to do next or what they were going to say. But it's almost all of what they're doing is listening to what the other person is saying and being able to respond to it, but mostly listening.
Yes.
So what creative project are you working on right now? Is it just the promotion of the new book, or do you have a new book going? And how's it lighting you up?
Well, two questions. I'm in the middle of book launch on The Listening Path. So that's been hectic and exciting and scary and good so far. And I have a book that's at my editor right now on guidance. So that's my newest project.
I know for musicians, when a record is done, there's a 4-month window before it comes out. And that can be a really nerve-wracking time waiting to see how people respond. But it doesn't seem like you ever stop. If you've already got a book to your editor, then you're just always rolling, right?
I try to be always rolling. I went through a period when we first did COVID where I wasn't writing anything except for my morning pages. And I found myself saying, oh, Julia, you're supposed to be the queen of creativity. And where's your creativity? And then my morning pages said, you're going to write a play. And I said, but I have no ideas right now for a play. And they said, start with birds. So I started with, aren't they lovely? And a play unfolded. And it gave me great sanity to have a creative project to work on while we were busy being in forced solitude.
I love that your story about the idea for the play was itself in the form of dialogue, which I do find the morning pages to often be, right? Like we are having a dialogue with ourselves or with our morning pages, right?
Yes.
I love that. And one of the reasons that I am so excited to be talking to you is because Brian Koppelman, who says hello, by the way, was a guest on my podcast, and he credits the Morning Pages with keeping him sane and getting him unblocked and, you know, with a great deal of his success. And I was reminded by that I had a copy of The Artist's Way, and this is months ago now. This is late spring. I had a copy of Artist's Way sitting on my bookshelf, and I had always thought, well, no, I need to read a book about plot, or I need to read a book of, you know, what are those, the autodidactic, beating myself up with the books that I should be reading, in flying air quotes. So because of his reminder, I went back and fell in love with The Artist's Way and have been writing Morning Pages ever since. And I wonder, and you might have heard this from people, how many folks have had their sort of lives insanity, or artistic lives at least, saved by the practice of doing Morning Pages during the pandemic specifically?
Well, it's an interesting thing. The LA Times has a bestseller list, and right now The Artist's Way is number 3. And this is after 30 years. So I think during the pandemic, more people are rushing out to purchase it, hoping to channel their creativity in a productive way. Otherwise, the energy of the pandemic can be sort of chaotic.
Yeah. What a beautiful, positive thing to be part of the zeitgeist at this moment. You know, instead of people watching bleak movies about pandemics, they're reading The Artist's Way. That makes me so happy.
It makes me pretty happy, too.
I bet. So this is something that you've touched on in your writing over the years and in interviews you've given. But for the sake of the Wheels Off listeners, I wonder if you would walk me through the time when you realized that you were going to live a creative life, specifically like when you were a kid. Was there an epiphany moment? I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be an artist. And then I wonder also, as a follow-up, what it was like to then pivot into this new thing where you're the sort of, what's the word, where you're helping other people with their creative lives.
I went ahead writing short stories to woo Peter Mundy, and I didn't succeed in wooing him, but I succeeded in wooing myself. I became a writer at age 12, and I found myself writing a lot of poetry, and I still write a lot of poetry. And I found myself feeling like this was what I wanted to do with my life. And it never occurred to me to look elsewhere. I was very lucky. I had parents who did not say to me, "Oh, sweetheart, don't you think you might need something to fall back on?" Instead, they were supportive. And so I come from a big family. And what we did was, if we learned something, like learned how to tie a bootlace, you then turned around and taught it to a sibling. So for me, The Artist's Way was a glorified version of helping a sibling. I learned something. I wrote it down. I gave it to somebody else. And when I wrote The Artist's Way, I thought I was writing it for about 10 people who were my peers and my colleagues who were blocked. And of course, now it turns out 5 million people have worked The Artist's Way, which is a staggering number. I can't feel that they're all gullible. I feel that they are getting something out of it. What they're getting out of it is guidance and direction.
Funny, even hearing the story about the way The Artist's Way found success is, I feel like, inspiring, because you put the book out there and it was a little while before it caught on, right? And it took the Jungians and it took like a couple of different small groups finding it and falling in love with it and using it. And then it like caught like wildfire from there.
Yes, it was word of mouth. When they published it, they printed 7,500. And they thought, well, it's going to be a small little California book because it's so woo-woo. It turned out that it spoke to people who weren't afraid of being woo-woo.
I love that. Well, but in a way, I mean, that was my experience with it, too. It sat on my shelf for a while because I thought, well, I need these things that are a lot more specific about plot and whatever, the things that seemed like they were the book that would speak to me. And in the end, you know, like Brian Koppelman told me, it was the artist's way. So this is kind of a crazy question, but when I talk to people for Wheels Off, the next thing I try and dig into is a thing that you've devoted literally 40 books to addressing. So it's kind of crazy, but I wonder for you, when you run up against the internally generated obstacles, the negative voices in your head, the fear, Roseanne Cash talked about the success guilt. People have talked about imposter syndrome. When you run up against these things, what are the tricks that you've discovered to move past them?
Well, it's a good question. I have a critic that's been with me since I was 18 years old. His name is Nigel. And Nigel is a gay British interior decorator. And I can never write anything that meets Nigel's standards. And he's always sniping at me and saying, "This is boring. You've done this before. No one's going to be interested in creativity again." I've learned to say to Nigel, "Nigel, thank you for sharing." And this is something that comes from writing morning pages, because there's 3 pages of longhand morning writing about absolutely anything, and there's no wrong way to do them. But your little Nigels, everybody has a Nigel, although you may call it something else, the little Nigel perks up and is negative. And we say, "Thank you for sharing," and we keep on writing. And this becomes a portable skill, this business of stepping past the censor, stepping past the critic. And it's a wonderful thing for an actor who's waiting in the wings, terrified. And his critic says, "You're not going to be any good today, Nick." And you say, "Thank you for sharing." And you step onto the stage.
God, I love that. I'm going to think about Nigel now. I was writing a song earlier today and there was a voice in my head. And next time that exact thing happens, it'll be Nigel that I think of. Well, I really love that. And I love the new book. I think The Listening Path, it's such a beautiful approach and to creativity. And like you said, for musicians, so much of it is about listening, responding, being receptive, you know, being a part of, and really it speaks to sort of the meaning of life, being a part of the larger conversation that is sort of what it's all about. So I wonder if you were, and once again, you've doled out advice for so many decades, but if you were to give a specific piece of advice to a 21-year-old version of yourself that you were to meet today in today's world, what advice do you think you might give yourself?
I would say, sweet tea, write morning pages. I recognize that I sound a little bit like a fanatic, because when people bring up problems or questions, my answer frequently is, write morning pages. They will move you toward the positive. They will train you to expand. They will train you to take risks. And it was interesting when I met Brian Koppelman, he said, "Julia, I'm an atheist." And I said, "Oh, well, I'm a believer." And then we kind of stopped. And he said, "I've been writing morning pages for 22 years, and I have written 13 feature films. And I said, "Well, Brian, clearly you don't believe in God, but God believes in you.
I love that. I love that. Well, I think morning pages are such a gift that you've given to the world. And these books are so beautiful. And it's funny that you brought up birds. I had two cardinals perched outside my office window all morning. And I kept thinking of my sweet little grandma who passed away on this day 24 years ago. And I kept thinking it was maybe her. But I think that what you're doing is so beautiful. And you're giving something so beautiful to the world. And I really appreciate you sitting down with me today to share your story. And thank you so much. I mean, God, I feel like I blazed through this interview with you, but you're so succinct. You're so good at your job.
Thank you. Well, I think the thing is that I love artists. And when I first was walking in Greenwich Village praying, give me a new idea, meaning give me an idea for a movie, I heard teach. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be an artist. And I thought they were two separate things. And I had a mythology that said teachers couldn't be artists. But then I started teaching. And what I found out was that as I unblocked myself, I became more of an artist. And that there was no conflict between teaching and artistry. And that, in fact, I loved teaching. And it's very exciting when you go out to teach and you look into the faces of those who are learning and their faces light up and you begin to realize, oh, enlightenment. That's a serious term and an accurate term. And I feel like when I go out to teach, it's like I'm visiting a garden and people will come up to me and say, I used your book and now I'm a novelist. Or I used your book and I've made these beautiful earrings. Or I used your book and I have my own podcast. I used your book, and they will say the sentence that they say to me most often is, Julia, your book changed my life. And I say, aha, you changed your life. I gave you the tools, but you used them.
Mm, I love that. That's so great. Well, Julia, thank you for giving us the tools and congratulations on the listening path and the LA Times bestseller list again. I mean, think about just from this neck, this most recent surge in sales of The Artist's Way, how many novelists, how many ballet dancers, how many screenwriters are going to come out of that? What a legacy you've built. I'm so grateful for your time. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to Wheels Off. Please be sure to rate and review the show on iTunes. That helps us appear higher in the search results and lets other folks know that it's a cool podcast to listen to. Also, as the kids say, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or anywhere else that you listen to shows like this, so that you never miss an episode. This has been Wheels Off, and I'm Rhett Miller, encouraging you to create every day. Thanks, y'all.
Osiris.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Mo, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to the show on the road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.